p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath. You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Amen. Praise God. Keep reading. Now he's going to give you some attributes of love right here. Keep reading. Read the next verse.
Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily.
Now, listen at what all that said right there. Love is patient and is what? Kind. We need to judge our actions by these scriptures. I'm not supposed to judge your actions by my actions. I'm not supposed to measure myself by you and say, I walk in love more than so-and-so. You shouldn't even judge your actions by me. No, because you know why? I'm not the standard.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We all are looking at the standard, and the standard is God's word. Amen. He said love is patient and is what?
Kind.
The love of God will take you past that where you'll never get to that point. Love doesn't mean laying down and letting people run over you. See, look at Jesus. He is the perfect example of love. He is love in manifestation. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only say what he gave me to speak. So every action of Jesus had the endorsement and the approval of his Father. And we know that God is love. So he was acting in love. But I don't see anybody running over him. Amen. I see people setting traps for him. I mean, I said, man, in one chapter, it's like chapter 9 or Mark or 10, somewhere around in there. It just seemed like there was one trial after another. I mean, when he left this group, the other group was after. Then he got over that one, and then there was another test. I mean, they were testing him left and right. The devil was firing all barrels on him. And he maintained his composure, and he stayed in the love of God. Hallelujah. Y'all 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 13. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at it right here. Let me see that in the Amplified Bible. So let's come up here. I want you to read it for me. First verse right there.
It says, if I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
Okay, so you have to walk in love with your words. You can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if the motivation of those words doesn't come out of love, it's just a lot of noise. So you have to make sure that what you say and how you speak to people, that you're not speaking out of strife, that you're not speaking to belittle people. Amen? That your words are full of love. Amen? If you got to speak the truth, you're going to speak it how? In love. So some people speak the truth in destruction. They'll tell you the truth about yourself because they want to hurt you. They're not trying to reconcile. They're not trying to redeem. They're not trying to restore. They're trying to hurt. Amen? And you have to guard against your flesh because your flesh is very dangerous. If your flesh get loose, you can create a lot of damage with your words. Isn't that true? You have to set a watch about your mouth if you're going to walk in love. You have to make sure that your words are the right kind of words. And not just the right words, but also the right tone. Y'all know what I'm talking about, tone? You can tell somebody the truth, but you got to have the right spirit behind it. Your actions have got to be right. Your tone, you know, your words shouldn't communicate one thing and your body language communicating something else. Say if I'm just talking to somebody, hey, let me correct something. You're doing that. Yeah, go ahead, Pastor. I'm listening. Let me know when you finish, Pastor. I sure love you. Let me know when you finish, Pastor. All right, you see what I'm talking about? All right, now see, I'm saying everything with the right tone, but my body language communicating something else. Well, is that person walking in love? No, they ain't in love. They're in strife. They want you to shut up. Their body language is saying, shut up, make it quick, get it over with. I ain't listening to nothing you got to say anyway. I ain't doing nothing you got to say anyhow. I don't care what you say right now because I got another agenda. Your words have to keep your love walk in check. You got to say the right thing. You had to say it with the right spirit. And your body language needs to communicate what you're saying from your heart. Amen. 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 Praise God. Read the second verse.
And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries, and possess all the knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody.
All right, you see what the Amplified says? So your faith walk have to be checked by love too. So many people get out of love in the area of faith, especially when they're ministering to somebody else. Well, I know the reason why you have all them problems because you just ain't walking in faith. If you had more faith, you wouldn't be going through that. Is that the love of God? No, that ain't the love of God. Your faith walk with God has to be guarded in and controlled by the love of God. In fact, Galatians 5:6 says that faith worketh or is made active and operative by love. It is your love and your compassion that causes your faith to go to another level. And you see, and this is the reason why most people don't ever get established in a faith life, is because their love walk is out of order and their faith is not working. Your faith in God will not work if it's not motivated by the love of God. Right? So you can believe, confess till you can't say confession. You can confess all you want. You can have faith to remove a mountain. Great faith. But if your love walk is out, then sooner or later your faith is going to be shipwrecked. It's going to stop working. Because faith works by love. Read the next verse.
Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing.
All right, listen at that. Now, he's talking about your giving life right here. He said, what if you gave your body to be burned? That'd be good, wouldn't it? I mean, if you gave your body and sacrificed so somebody else could live. If I give my body to be burned, if I give away all my stuff and say, we're going to feed the poor. You know, what if you just cleared your bank account and said, I'm buying all the school supplies in Alexandria. But if you had a selfish motive behind that, God saw that, and you get no reward for all you just did. So your motivation, even in serving others and giving to others, that motive has to be love. You can't be serving other people for what you're going to get out of it.
That's right.
You know how we say, I'll help you, but what's in it for me? I'm going to pay a big price here. What's coming back to me in return? If the reward is bigger than the sacrifice, then count me in. But if the reward is not as big as the sacrifice I'm going to have to pay, I just don't have time right now. He said here that even your service to other people have to be motivated by love or it doesn't profit. Amen? Praise God. Keep reading. Now he's going to give you some attributes of love right here. Keep reading. Read the next verse.
Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily.
Now, listen at what all that said right there. Love is patient and is what? Kind. We need to judge our actions by these scriptures. I'm not supposed to judge your actions by my actions. I'm not supposed to measure myself by you and say I walk in love more than so-and-so. You shouldn't even judge your actions by me. No, because you know why? I'm not the standard.
That's right.
We all are looking at the standard, and the standard is God's word. Amen. He said love is patient and is what?
Kind.
So one of the marks of love is that it's kind. It is long-suffering. It has an endurance about it. Amen? Love can actually put up with a lot of stuff. Love has an endurance quality. It has a kindness, a gentleness to it. So when you're walking in love, there ought to be some kindness. If you'll see that this description of love here, mean-spirited is nowhere in the list. How many of you ever met some mean Christians? I mean, mean. It's patient and it's kind, not mean-spirited. So we need to examine ourselves by the scripture. Am I walking in kindness? Are my motives pure? Do my words reflect, or do they contain the power of God? Do they have the power of God in them to bless? So your word should bless. My word should bless people. My faith should be a blessing, not a curse. Amen. Glory to God. My service to other people have to be done out of the right motive. It has to be from the motive of love. Whether I get anything back or not, I'm going to do it because I love you. Amen. God is my rewarder. Hallelujah. Love is patient and it's kind. What's the next one?
It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride.
All right, stop right there. It's not conceited. It's not arrogant. It's not inflated with pride. So love, when you're walking in love, you don't have a haughty air about you. You don't have that I'm better than you mentality. It's not arrogant. It's not inflated with pride. It's not self-seeking and self-serving. All these things tell you what love is not. Sometimes we don't know what love is till we learn what it's not. Well, it's not walking around like you better than everybody else. No, love is humble. You know, love is humility. Amen. Love is seeing other people better than you see yourself. Now, I know that's a hard thing for us who, you know, because the Bible says we all believe the best about ourselves. Amen. And in this age of high self-esteem, everybody say you got to have self-esteem. Yeah, you need to think well of yourself, but not to the degree that you think so well of yourself you don't need Jesus. All this self-esteem, if you get on the wrong track with that, you'll think you don't need God. Actually, you'll be better than God. There's some people out there think they don't need God, that they actually got a better way than God. All right, keep reading.
It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly.
Okay, now, it is not rude, doesn't act unbecomingly. That means that it's not disrespectful. Love is not rude. Love is not always telling somebody off and doing it in love. I just told them off, but I told them in love. No, it's not rude. Listen to me. The love of God doesn't act rude. It's not rude. It doesn't act unbecomingly. In other words, it doesn't cut up and show itself off. That's not love. And we're talking about walking in love. We got to walk. We got to be humble but strong. See, meekness makes you strong. Walking in love makes you stronger than you are right now. The more love you walk in, the stronger you become as a human being, the stronger your character is. The more love you got, the more love you walk in, the more powerful you become as a person. Because you got God walking in you. And the more liberty you give to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your life, I'm going to tell you, the greater the power and the anointing is going to flow out of you, the greater blessing you're going to be to the people around you. I want love. Amen. Because that's God's way. It's the most excellent way. I want to increase in love. I don't want to decrease. See, the Bible says in the last days that the love of men is going to wax cold. You know why? Because it says iniquity is going to abound. That means people doing the wrong thing, going to be so many of them out there doing wrong. And when people are doing wrong like that means they're cussing you out. They're offending you. They're breaking in line on you. How many of you ever had somebody break in line? You've been standing there. How many of you walk in love in a Walmart line? You see what I'm talking about? When iniquity abounds, that means people just have no respect for you. Cut you off, hit your car, get out the car, slam the door into your car. On purpose, then roll their eyes and say, now say something. See, when iniquity abounds, that means that people don't care about one another. They don't care about hurting your feelings. They don't care about cursing you out. They don't care about mistreating you. They don't care about respecting you or anything like that. Well, the Bible said because of that, in the last days, the love of many is going to wax cold. That means that people are going to turn from walking in the real love of God, and they're going to become just like the people around them. But we don't want that to happen to us. Now, I don't mean that you should let somebody tag your stuff up. I ain't talking about that. But love is a disposition that you have. It is a part of your character and your makeup that I'm going to handle this in the right way. Amen? If you start jumping up and down, cussing and trying to provoke me to do something, because some people try to provoke you, want to fight you and want to just try to coax you into one. But if you walk in love, see, you already discern that. You already bound that in the spirit. And you take authority of those evil spirits right there on the spot, and then they don't know why they think what they're trying to do ain't working.
That's right.
Why? You see, when they came after Jesus, they're going to take him and throw him down the cliff. And what, know what the Bible says? And he walked right through the midst of them. They couldn't touch him. There was some time they went to get him and he disappeared. Why? He got this shield of love around him. Can't touch him. Hallelujah. Reese said, that's what I need. Well, you better get in the love of God. I mean, a lot of us need that shield of love around us. Amen. Hallelujah. Read the next one. Read the next one. Reeve, you need that, don't you, Reeve? Reeve said, that's what I need. I need that shield. When they come at me, I'll be gone. Wouldn't that be great? You got a crowd come at you, and all of a sudden you say, Father, in the Jesus name, right now. Boom, and you gone. They say, oh, where he went? He was right there.
Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights, or its own ways.
Okay, it doesn't insist on its own right. In other words, when you're walking in love, you ain't got to have your way all the time. With some people, it's my way or the highway. If it's not going to be done the way I think it ought to be done, then I'm not into it. You do it this way, and if it can't be done this way, don't count me in. You know, we have been taught to look out for number one. And a lot of times, if it ain't like I want it, then I'm just, you know, don't count me in. It's my way or the highway. Now, most people won't admit that that's the way they are. It is more prevalent than what you think. If it can't be the way I want it and the way I think it ought to be done, then I'm not participating. That is more prevalent than what you think. But that is not the love of God. And this is the part. There's nothing wrong with expressing a different way, a different idea. He said love does not insist on its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy, fretful, and resentful. See, now the last thing here, that means that love is not easily irritated. It's not touchy. You know what touchy is? The minute somebody get around you and do a little bit, you're all upset. You ever seen anybody with a short fuse? So touchy. You know, and we recognize touchy people because we say, well, you know, with that person, you got to walk on eggshells around them. Why? Because they're so touchy and so easily irritated. Now, just think if God was like that. What if God was a touchy God? The Bible says he's slow to anger and of great mercy. In other words, that means that God take a lot off of us. He takes so much. Why? Because the Bible says that he's long-suffering. Long-suffering means that you're not quick to retaliate a wrong. You see, we may have more growing to do in love than what we realize. And that's a good thing, because we got time to get it right. Amen? If I find out that I haven't been walking in love, then I need to make some adjustments in my life, and I need God to go ahead, I call it, let him tweak you, let him adjust you, let him mold you, get back on the potter's wheel, and let him mold you a little bit more. Maybe a little bit every week, a little bit every day. Let God mold you and shape you until you desire to walk in love, until it's an aim, a pursuit, and say, boy, I just want to walk in love. I just want to love people. I just want to help, and I want to serve. I want to love God. I want to love my fellow man. I want to be a blessing. Amen. Anything I can do to be a blessing is what I want to do. I want to walk in love because I know that that is God's way. I know that that's the way that God is pleased. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we had to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, meditate in those scriptures. I mean, confess that word. And if there's some areas in your life that are a little bit out of kilter, this is not a message of condemnation. No, the Holy Spirit is helping us to adjust where we are. Whatever I need to adjust, I say, Lord, okay, Lord, I just found out I got a problem in that area of my life right there. Lord, I need some help in this area. Now, Lord, help me. Take that part out of me. Don't let me be like that. I don't want to be like that no more. I renounce that. Lord, I take on me the nature and the character of Jesus. I'm going to walk in the love of God. And you got to make a commitment to walk in it, because if you don't really commit to it, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a wind come that's going to blow you right off course. If you're not committed to it, you have to be committed to the love walk until you're willing to get rooted and grounded in it. If you're not willing to get rooted and grounded, then you're never going to walk in the love of God to the degree God wants you to. If you don't commit to the love walk, then you're never going to get rooted and grounded in love, and you're never going to have God's best. I'm just telling you the truth. I want you to have God's best. I want to see you go to another level. I want to see us all come up together. I want to see us all grow together like they did in the Thessalonians church. They had a lot of obstacles. They had a lot of persecution. They had a lot of affliction. There were things going wrong all around them, but they kept their love walk together. And they kept their faith strong in God, that even in spite of the difficulties that they had, they say, we trust God and we believe in his love. And Paul commended them. He said, I'm bragging on y'all because you have endured so much affliction and your faith has increased and your love for one another keeps abounding. So we should never fall out of love with each other. See, our love for each other shouldn't be getting less and less as time goes on. You know what happened? A lot of churches, people fall out of love. and you got some set on that side, some set on that side, and these on this side don't communicate with them on the other side, it will not happen in this church. We will not have that kind of division here. Now, I'm not speaking to a current problem. I'm just speaking some preventive medicine here. We will not have those kind of attitudes and that kind of spirit in this church.
Amen.
Amen. If there's somebody in this church that you can't look them in the eye and smile and mean it, then you need to get to them and make it right with them. Amen. We're not talking about love. We're not just talking a show here. We're talking about living in love. Amen. Being men and women of the love of God who are strong in love. Amen. The Bible says to walk in it. The Bible says to be rooted and grounded in it. The Bible says to guard yourself in it. You got to guard yourself. You got to keep yourself in the love of God, because Satan wants to deceive you so that you don't walk in love. How many of y'all can make a commitment to the love walk? That means you got to walk in love with your family members, even the ones that's not easy to love. How many of y'all got some family members ain't easy to love? All right, see, God done gave you an assignment. They may be your assignment. Brother Hagin told a story about this lady that he had when he was pastoring the church. He said this lady kept so much stuff going in the church. She always was stirring up stuff. She was a busybody. She kept things stirred up a lot, and one day they was giving a testimony service. I might have had a story just right. This part I remember about it. He said, and they were all talking about who's been the greatest blessing in the church to them. And Brother Hagin, when it came his time, he said, Brother Hagin, who's been the greatest blessing to you in the church? And he called out this woman's name that stirred up all the mess. Everybody looked at him like he's crazy, like, how she been a blessing? He said, that woman has kept me on my face before God. She has been the greatest blessing, because I've had to pray and I've had to keep myself in the love of God because of her. She has blessed my life. It's all a matter of how you look at people. Sometimes God will put them roughnecks in your life. Sometimes he'll put those stiff-necked people in your life. Why? So you can work on love. So you have somebody to practice on. There's two ways to perfect your love walk. Number one is by practice. Number two is by obedience to the word. You got to practice love. If you mess up, you get up, you keep going. You know, that's what you know when you're practicing something. That means you're going to mess up every now and then. So what you do? When you mess up, you correct it. But you never stop practicing. You never stop working, saying, I'm walking in love. And I'm going to tell you, if we will commit to this love walk, our church will not look the same in 30 days. I can tell you that. Our discernment will be at a higher level. Our care for one another will be at a higher level. The blessing of the Lord will be manifested even on a greater level than what we've seen. And we've seen a lot of blessing. But I'm going to tell you, the key to everything, the key to all of it is walking in love and keeping our faith walk together. Amen? Keep loving Jesus more than you love anything else. Make him your first love. See, little girl said, okay, going out there. Listen, that ought to be everybody's. Now, see, that was prophetic right there. See, that ought to be everybody's. See how simple that was? Okay. Now, she might be going to get a spanking, but she okay with this love walk. You see? She said, but I know even mama spanked me. I got to walk in love with her. I might be fixing to get a spanking, but I'm going to still walk in love. She said, okay. Everybody needs you to say okay to the nice message. Okay, Pastor. Okay. I got it, Pastor. I'm gonna let God deal with me in the area of love, and I'm going to practice love. Some of y'all can practice in your home all day long. You can practice walking in love. And then you don't stop because the other person not. Well, I'm walking in love, but they ain't. I ain't no doing no good for me to walk in love. See, that's what I'm talking about, trusting it. Believing in it, believing that it's the right thing to do, and then asking God for the wisdom so that you're walking in love and not something that you think is love. Hallelujah. But you can always be kind. You can always be gentle. You can always be courteous. You can always be forgiving. Hallelujah. Last scripture is this one here, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It's, be ye kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. That's our sign. Let's be kind, Tenderhearted have to do with our compassion and our care for one another. That when we see someone having a difficult time, that we go to their aid, we go to their rescue. We want to be tender in our heart. We don't want to be callous and say, well, too bad, they deserve just what they get.